Darius Rafieyan.
Yes.
You are our producer here on The Indicator.
I am.
And you came to us the other day with a story.
About student loans.
Yes, because you recently were a student.
I recently was a student. I took out my fair share of loans to pay for being a student. And I currently owe $56,744.91.
That's a lot.
Is it a lot? I thought I was doing okay.
No, that's true. I mean, it just, that's, you know, it's a, you know what? I don't think that's a lot. I take it back. I'm really sorry.
Well, anyway.
So anyway, the reason you came to us about student loans is that there's this idea with student loans, which is that they are the kind of loan that you cannot get rid of in bankruptcy. You are just stuck with this loan forever, no matter what.
That is right.
Death do you part.
Student loans follow you to the grave. They never stop coming. They're like the Terminator. They are the Terminator of debt. Everyone in the student loan world has accepted that as a fact of life for decades. No matter what you do, you can never get out of them with bankruptcy. And as it turns out, that is not quite true.
This is The Indicator. I'm Stacey Vanek Smith.
And I'm Darius Rafieyan.
And today, student loans. We meet the man who took out the Terminator of the loan business.
Support for this NPR podcast and the following message come from ZipRecruiter. Are you hiring? ZipRecruiter has revolutionized how you do it. Their technology identifies people with the right experience and invites them to apply to your job. Try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/indicator.
My name is Austin Smith. I identify myself generally as a litigator or a consumer litigator, and I practice exclusively in the field of bankruptcy litigation.
Austin specializes in student loans, which he got interested in, appropriately enough, while he was at law school. He was working on an article for his school's law review when he noticed something interesting about student loan bankruptcy cases.
When a debtor goes into their adversary proceeding, the first thing that has to happen is the bank or the federal government has to prove that the debt in question actually is a student loan.
Sounds simple. Except when it comes to bankruptcies, there are two types of student loans, qualified and unqualified.
Qualified loans make up the majority of student loans. They generally have a low interest rate and lots of repayment options. They're often government subsidized. And most importantly, they are for full-time students at accredited institutions, which means they cannot be discharged in bankruptcy, which, for all you non-bankruptcy litigators out there, means you cannot get rid of these loans in bankruptcy.
Unqualified loans, on the other hand.
Yes, tell us.
They are entirely private. You get them from a bank or some other private lender. They usually come with painfully high interest rates, as high as 15%.
Wow, okay.
And very often they're for non-accredited schools, like truck driving school or dog walking school.
There's not dog walking school.
No, I'm not making that up.
What is there to learn?
Well, you'd think anyone could just pick up a leash and walk a dog,
that
but it is
a... actually what I think.
It is a subtle art walking a dog.
No, that's not true.
And the law says that if you get to the point where you can't pay the interest on one of these loans, you technically can discharge them in bankruptcy. Except that never really happens because of this one phrase in the bankruptcy code.
An obligation to repay funds received as an educational benefit, scholarship, or stipend.
If that phrase sounds arcane and incomprehensible to you, well, it is. And Austin realized that bankruptcy lawyers had been misinterpreting it for decades. It was added to the code in 1990 to apply very narrowly to a specific type of scholarship. But lawyers had been applying it much more broadly to all student loans.
For the longest time, people were going into court with these private loans, and the judge was saying, all right, well, is it a qualified loan? And they'd say, no, you were attending George's Barber College. George's Barber College is not a real college, so it's not a qualified education loan. Well, what's this second provision? An obligation to repay funds received as an educational benefit, scholarship, or stipend. Well, this provided you with an educational benefit. George's Barber College might not be a real college, but you got some education there, right?
It was a bad reading of the law, as Austin saw it. So he wrote up this article in the Law Review.
And nobody read it, and nobody could care less.
Austin, though, would not let it go. Even after he got his first job at a law firm, he kept bugging his boss, saying, let's bring some student loan cases. I found this new interpretation of the code, and there are billions and billions of dollars of loans out there that could be wiped clean.
Finally, after just, you know, untold emails and calls, my managing partner is like, you know, to get you off my back, fine, go find a client and do this little case and you can sort of prove how smart you are.
So Austin filed his first case, Campbell versus Citibank.
It was my first time ever being in court. I was out of law school like 6 months. So it was, I like to think it was this sort of like John Grisham moment. Like I had no experience. I don't know what I'm doing. I didn't know which table to stand at. And the judge had read my papers and she right away said, I agree with you, to me. And the bank was like, what?
Austin won the case.
The ungetridable student loan, the ironclad student loan, the great student loan that could never be toppled.
Austin found a way to topple it.
Austin was so excited, he rushed back to his firm and said, guys, let's do this thing. Let's change America.
I then went back to my firm and I was like, okay, guys, no, serious. Now we've won. This is billions and billions and billions of dollars of debt. Let's do something.
But once again, no one could care less.
So I said, all right, well, I'm doing it. So I put in my 2 weeks, took out a loan from my bank that is dischargeable.
You made sure of that. Yeah,
set up shop in my apartment and just, I hung up a shingle and just people started coming to me.
Austin has won more than a dozen cases from Minnesota to New York to Texas. He's got dozens more winding their way through the courts now. And Austin estimates that as much as 3% of outstanding student loans could be dischargeable in bankruptcy. 3% would be $50 billion, which gives us today's indicator. As much as $50 billion worth of student debt could technically be wiped away.
Which is a little hard for some people to swallow. I mean, after all, nobody was forced to take out these loans. And, you know, let's say you did take out $200,000 to attend dog walking school and you spent that money. I mean, why should you be able to get rid of that loan if you declare bankruptcy, but the guy who took out $200,000 to get a computer science degree can't do that?
Well, Austin says there's something different about these loans. Back before the housing crisis, a lot of these loans, basically subprime student loans, were given out at banks like J.P. Morgan, Citibank, Wells Fargo. Austin says these were the same kinds of subprime loans that people took out for houses around the same time, and this lending for student loans was arguably pretty predatory.
They were just originating debt, billions of dollars in debt, to people with no ability to repay it. You know, I mean, I have a client right now who borrowed $1 million. $1 million in student debt. He was getting checks for like $40,000 every couple weeks in his mailbox.
Just because for him it was free money.
Because, right, you know, and like, yeah, so probably shouldn't have borrowed it, but like also probably shouldn't have lent it to him.
Austin says some of these people got suckered into going to some pretty sketchy for-profit schools. Some of the schools were accused of fraud. Some of the schools went out of business before the students could even get their degrees.
And in many cases, these borrowers would not have been able to attend these schools if it hadn't been for the banks that were so eager to lend them this money. Banks who lent the money assuming that the borrowers would never be able to get rid of these loans in bankruptcy and that they were a kind of guaranteed bet.
And now, Austin says, now that the legal pendulum is starting to swing the other way and banks are starting to realize that some of these million-dollar student loans aren't as bulletproof as they once thought, he says they may start to think twice about spreading money around like they did.
That's probably good, but it is bad news for our dog walking business.
It is bad news for the Raphaël Vanek Smith
School of Dog Walking.
International Academy of Canine Ambulatory Arts.
That's disappointing.
Support for this NPR podcast and the following message come from ZipRecruiter, the job site with revolutionary technology that identifies people with the right experience and invites them to apply to your job. Try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/indicator. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
Everybody's buzzing about James Comey's new book. What's the Fresh Air interview with Comey going to be like? I'm Terry Gross, the host of Fresh Air. You can hear our interviews starting Tuesday afternoon wherever you found this podcast.